This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
Don't have to be. It's just so much more fun.
Right. Yeah.
So much more fun.
And you said you'd be authentic when you started the show 3 years ago. It's been about 3 years to the day almost. I wonder what the show anniversary is. It's right about this time.
Well, the hiring, or maybe it was the last show across the street was October 1.
Okay.
And then there's a little lag. A
little bit.
Yeah. Like just to the short. So it's next week.
Okay.
It's sometime next week.
And it'll be 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, three-year anniversary is coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said you'd be authentic. And so authentically you are a homer.
And for so many of you out there that are going to be bummed by the news, there's going to be at least three more.
Yeah.
Just to let you know.
I'm going to need another 15 probably. Okay. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I said at least.
I got a 2-year-old, so I've been informed by my lovely wife, Supper, that she'll be retiring before me, despite the fact that she's more than a decade younger than I am.
That should be that way.
Of course.
Of course.
So I get to work until I'm 70, and when she's in her mid-50s, she gets to bounce.
Will you explain to her that you work year-round, though?
I've tried. And on Sundays when
this 8-month schedule that these teachers, these overpaid teachers, I'm kidding.
I know.
I'm so kidding.
It's actually a 10-month deal now. Summer's down. You know this as a parent. Summer's down to 8 weeks.
I've told you this forever. Summer, I compare to Mirror Lake in Yosemite. It's the same thing. Every year it gets a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
And one of these days, it's going to be gone.
Totally.
Yep.
It might be 9 weeks, but it's not much more.
No. No, and, ski week, and look, no, I got nothing to say about this, but today...
Shout out Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. This is a Jewish holiday, and they just are like, let's just not do school at all. No matter from what faith you are or what background you are, and the kids are like, the school's off. And I'm like, just remember this.
Yep.
When summer goes from mid-June to... late June. Remember that your ski week that you love, your month-long winter break, that's why.
Yep.
You're all doing the same number of school days that we did.
180 school days. You did it. I did it. Your kids are doing it.
Oh,
180 school days are still 180 school days.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how you want to slice it.
Hey, don't miss the kickoff show Sunday, okay? Niners Cards, Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings, two of our favorites, live 2 hours before the start of the game. You can join us at Hilton Santa Clara. There's delicious food. There's great drinks. There's the best pregame show in the Bay. And it's presented by Habas Law. You've been wrong. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. All right. I'm going to take a little risk here. At the risk of a stupid semantics argument.
Okay.
I get bothered by this. You are what your record says you are. No, you're not. I mean, literally, I would argue that you just said, even though you're going to back the idea that you are what your record said you are, and I know, I understand what you mean mathematically.
Of course.
I get it. You don't get into the playoffs if you go 7-10.
Even
I understand
though you're
that.
A really good team.
And nobody cares about the context and the why and all of that at the end. However, is 2-2, is 500, is that good?
It depends on who you play.
Well, wait a minute. You are what your record says you are.
Right.
And I would argue that 2-2 is not good. That's not what you were hoping for. Certainly not
There's
for the 49ers.
There's context in your 2-2.
Exactly.
For every team. Like,
very
let's
much
look
so.
Across football. The Jets are 2-2. How do they feel?
Awful.
Baltimore's 2-2, and they should be better than that.
Well, they should be, but that's trending up because they're coming off of a wonderful victory.
The Raiders are 2-2, and they're probably thrilled at being 2-2, right. As is Denver. So every 2-2 is not created equally.
And Dallas is 2-2, and I'd argue they stink. The Bears are 2-2. I don't know if their offense has scored a touchdown yet. I honestly don't, and I'm only sort of kidding. You know what I mean?
The Niners are 2-2, and if you wanted to rate their 2-2 start on a scale of 1, god-awful, to 10, this is pretty bitchin'. The Niners are probably a 5 in how they feel about their 2-2.
The Broncos are 2-2.
And they're probably thinking this is cool.
Well, they threw the ball for 60 yards last week.
And they beat the Jets 10-9.
Yeah, right. And they won a football game. So, like,
every 2-2 is not the same.
Well, there you go.
Right.
So, you are not what your record says you are.
See, this is where you and I are going to have to slug it out for the next 90 minutes because you're 2-2.
Well, explain to me what you mean then. If there's context, there's context. In other words, we are free to have a differing opinion about the same record. So if we're going to have a differing opinion, this 2-2 means that, but that 2-2 means this, that means, in my opinion, you are not what your record says you are, because we are saying different things about the same record, no?
We are, but at the end of it, if you're 2-2 and 2-2 is not good enough, or if the Niners wind up 9-8 on the year and they miss the playoffs, then you're going to feel differently than if they wind up 9-8 and they make the playoffs. The record would be the same, and the disappointment level would be dramatically different based on what you get to do next. So,
but that's looking backward.
Ultimately,
we're at a point in the season where we're looking forward.
Right, and well, right now we're looking backward at 2-2. We're not looking forward at 2-2. We're looking at what they are at 2-2, and I would say this 2-2 for the Niners is more disappointing than it is pleasant.
No question, but I don't think it defines them is what I'm saying. I guess that's a better way to say it. When someone says to me, you are what your record says you are, that sounds to me like you're defining the team. You're a 2-2 team. Mathematically, yes, but none of you feel that way. None of you. None of you. You're playing exact words. You're playing Sharpie. You're playing math. And I don't think most of us look at sports and football and whatnot with a math brain when we're drafting how we actually emotionally feel about a team. If I do go back to the fact that I do think that the 49ers remain favored in every remaining game, then I'm not going to define them as a 500 team, even though they sit there as a 500 team right now today. Like, I just don't see it that way. The Broncos and the 49ers are not the same thing. So you are not what your record says you are.
Well, and that's one way to look at it. Ultimately, the only thing that matters is your record. And we can look at the Warriors last year and say 46-36. That's a pretty good regular season record. That's a pretty good year. You were the ninth seed and you got knocked out.
Normally.
So ultimately, all that matters is how you finish and what you do if you make the playoffs or you don't make the playoffs. And so the Niners are 2-2, and you could look at it and say they should be 3-1. They should not have lost to the Rams. So that's disappointing that they're 2-2 and they're not 3-1. You can feel that, but the reality is you're 2-2 because you gacked a lead against the Rams, you choked it away, and you're 2-2. So you are what your record says you are.
Okay. So
you don't get to be 3-1 because you outplayed him and you should have beat him.
No, of course not. But you understand where I'm coming from, which
I do.
Is that none of you feel that the Ravens and the 49ers are equal to all of these other 2-2 teams. Nobody would have that opinion. Nobody.
Right, but if you wind up the year and you are just like these other teams, then our feelings will be different.
Well, sure.
And Dallas is a great example because you just said
they stink.
You think that they stink, and you think that they're going to be 2-4 when they come here and they take on the Niners, and the Niners should be 4-2. They might be 3-3.
Yeah.
You just never know. But if Dallas comes in here at 2-4 or 4-2, we'll think differently about of the very same Dallas team.
100%. Like, again, I'm not saying that your record doesn't matter. I'm saying that we're still very early in a season, and our projections also matter. And here's what, in the end, I'm kind of getting at. And I do wonder this, based on the disappointment of this first foursome of games. We're coming off of a win. We didn't get to really dive into it as much as we normally would on a Monday and Tuesday because Farhan Zaidi got fired and Buster Posey got hired and there was a press conference and it was a big old stinking deal. Plus the Patriots, speaking of stink, stink. So here we are, and I wonder how everyone's feeling. Do you still consider the 49ers the favorite in the NFC? There are, let's count them up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that have a better record. In the just in the conference, 5 teams have a better record than the 49ers.
There are 12 that have the same record or better, because you've got 7 teams that are 2-2 in the conference. 5 or better, and then you are in a 7-way tie for 6th best record in the conference. Are they still the favorites in the NFC? Absolutely. And, you know, you could look at Minnesota and say, well, they beat you head-to-head, so Minnesota should be the favorite. And, you know, Minnesota's been the best team in the NFC so far.
Yep.
They beat you, and they're 4-0.
No, they have good wins. They beat the Packers at Lambeau. They blew the Texans off the field. They beat the 49ers.
Well, they blew Green Bay out for three quarters.
A quarter and a half. But
in Green Bay, it took a long time for them to answer in that game. Jaden Reed.
They need to cut their field goal kicker.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They need to cut. Yeah. They need to cut.
He's a rookie, right?
Yes, and they need to send him back to school.
That's a little harsh.
No, it's not. He's missing 35 yarders. Like, I'm sorry. There's no time to wait. That's just the way I sort of react with that stuff. Like, he actually cost them a chance to win that game, even though they were down by 4 scores. First of all, they wouldn't have been down by 4 scores if he could kick the ball straight. But it is not December at Lambeau Field. It was September. At Lambeau Field. The sun was shining, and you're playing a division opponent. You need to kick your 37-yarders through those two uprights over there. And it wasn't even close. So, to me, he really, really cost him in that game. And he wasn't good the week before that either.
Yeah, he's 9 for 13.
That's not good. That's one miss per week.
Well, you know who's behind him, right? Mr. Hall of Famer himself.
Oh, well, he's had a bad year.
He's 5 for 8, Justin Tucker.
Yeah, he's had a bad year.
And then the Colts kicker's 3 for 5. The only two kickers that are worse than the Packers kicker.
You're talking about percentages but yep. Nobody's missed more kicks. And I don't even know the kid's name. What's the kid's name?
Oh, I don't know.
The Packers kicker? Something.
Jimmy getting cut? Yeah, he's missed 4 field goals, which is far and away the most in the league. You're right.
Hang on. Packers.
Braden Narveson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Narveson.
Braden Narveson?
Yep.
Sounds made up.
Braden Narveson. Yeah.
Am I right?
No good. No good.
That's a 2.
I know. Anyway. Yeah, I could give you a factual answer if you want to do your record. You are what your record says you are. Then factually, the 49ers remain the favorite in the NFC by a long shot.
Right.
By like a literal long shot. They are almost twice the favorite of the second one, which is the Detroit Lions.
And that's based on the odds makers who are going to always protect themselves based on wagers that come in. And, you know, if you want to do like true odds and true probability on winning the NFC, they're probably first or second still, even though they're at 2-2 and the Vikings are at 4-0.
Ken, do you know where game show music is? Do you know where that is?
Like,
let's have some fun. Let's have some fun for a second. Do you know where it is? He's looking.
He'll find it.
Searching, Googling. He's asking Jeeves. And there it is. All right, let's go. Should we do top 5 or top 10?
In
order.
Oh, God.
Current Super Bowl odds. In order. Why don't you go until you buzz? Go until you buzz.
I mean, from 10 down to 1 or 1 down to 10?
Start with the 1. Start at the top. Who's the Super Bowl favorite?
You would figure it'd have to still be Kansas City.
That's correct.
Number one.
Okay, who's number two?
Well, who it should be is not who it actually is.
Oh, but you are what your numbers say you are.
Again, this is the odds. This has nothing to do with what your record is. This has to do with what the odds makers think and how they want to protect themselves. So the Niners are number two, no doubt.
That is
number
correct. Two. They are number two. Who's number three?
Probably the Ravens.
That is correct, even though they're also 2-2.
Number three.
Yeah.
Who comes after that?
Here's where it gets tough.
Keep going until you get a buzz. You got a buzz ready, Ken? Get a buzz ready.
Get your buzz out of here.
Yeah. Get your buzz on.
Thursday
like GP2 at a parade.
Kick off in a half an hour. Start drinking.
Come on.
How about the Bills? Would they be next?
That is correct. We are at plus 1,000, the Buffalo Bills. Who's next?
Detroit?
That is correct.
Come on.
Plus 1,100. They are number five. Who's next?
Well, it's got to be the undefeated Vikings.
Ken?
Ken?
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. No, sorry.
One buzzer's enough there, Grandy Jr.
One more time. No.
God.
No.
I feel like Grandy's back.
Houston Texans?
Really?
Yeah. And you can fade the divers and fade the music too. It's
ba-ba-ba-ba.
Houston Texans plus 1,300. The Philadelphia Eagles are still ahead of the Vikings.
Really?
How stupid is that? You want to talk about not watching football? Let me promise you something right now. Nick Sirianni not winning a Super Bowl. That's just dumb. He's plus 1,400. Then comes the Vikings at plus 1,600. And how many teams is that? There's five, six, seven,
eight. Yeah.
Rounding out the top 10, the New York Jets, and then a tie at 10th place between two NFC foes that are on the Niners schedule, the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are your Super Bowl odds. Yeah, I would argue that these odds scream that people do not believe that you are what your record says you are. Because wouldn't you agree Vikings are too low? And then I can keep going with all the stubbornness of this list in terms of we're not moving off of them, even though we can see, like, why are the Bengals 11th? Hello, they're 1-3. They're a mess.
Yeah.
They're a total mess. Well, nope, we still, you know, Joe Burrow. Okay, if you want. And then you got to go 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way down to 17. Tucked right up against the Chicago Bears are the 3-1 Washington Commanders with the favorite for Rookie of the Year. People are not reacting to the records yet at all.
Well, especially in that division where Philadelphia looks more than vulnerable, Dallas is a hot mess, and the Giants stink. So could the Commanders up and steal that division?
Totally,
yeah,
they could.
I mean, absolutely
they could.
It doesn't feel like anybody's going 12-5 in that division and walking away with it.
And the Commanders have, correct me if I'm wrong, they have a pretty winnable game this week, don't they? Yeah, they're hosting the Browns. So
the other one is New Orleans, I thought would have been a little bit higher.
Well,
the team that can flat out score with anybody.
But they've lost a couple in a row. They're 2-0 start, right? Young Wei Koo, 58 yards, boom, you lose.
That was crazy.
Yeah, so now they're 2-2. That division's all kinds of interesting after a couple of years of it being just an absolute joke where 8 wins would win the division and get you a home game. But Tampa's 3-1, the Falcons and Saints are both 2-2, and everybody looks kind of viable.
Yeah, and that, for me, is kind of the nature of the entire NFL. Even if you take the two-time defending champion Chiefs, they don't look unbeatable. And Minnesota looks probably the best through 4 games of any team in the NFL as far as what they are and what they could be, but nobody's believing in that team. And then the other teams that you would really want to bank on, Baltimore, the Niners, Buffalo's a team that you'd probably put higher on the list as far as, you know, track record and a good start. But for me, parity is reigning more supreme this year than ever before.
I agree with you. I look around the league, and this is really probably a feather in the Niners' cap that not a lot of us have discussed or thought about yet. I don't think anybody looks terrifying, Niners included. I don't, like, it, at least it hasn't taken shape yet. And you could argue that Minnesota has looked the best, but that's still, it's still Minnesota. Like, at no point would I look at them and be like, they're going to dominate. That's going to be really hard. The only thing that I would say that is shaping up that's potentially an issue there is that they now have, in theory, a three-game lead on the 49ers with regard to home field advantage, if it all plays out that way. If the Niners do have a good season and then this kind of gets on track and they have a good second half and they're going for one of the top seeds and they're going to win the West, the Vikings are 4-0 and have the tiebreaker on the Niners.
Yeah.
So that's already shaping up to be a potential problem, because I do think going to Minnesota in January would be hard. That would be hard.
Well, I think playing Minnesota, period, would be hard because of what Brian Flores was able to do to your guy, Brock Purdy, and the Niner offense. The way they play defense with their seven-man front at times, and when they rush four or they rush three and drop eight or they bring seven, they are very confusing defensively. And Brian Flores has had Kyle Shanahan's number in those games, and he's been able to counteract the Shanahan offense, at least in the last couple of matchups. And
through a pick, they got six sacks. I wouldn't act like he confused Brock Purdy. Brock gave him a compliment. Brock also threw 28 of 36 for 319 yards and a score.
Yep.
It's not like he was like, I don't know what to do out here.
You scored 17 points.
I understand that.
Again, second straight year, you played Minnesota and you scored 17 points.
Sure.
And
that's on a lot of things, though.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's not only on Brock Purdy, but I look at a Brian Flores defense versus a Kyle Shanahan offense, and they were able to bend and not break. And that's another thing, if you want to talk about the New England game, and we want to look at things that have me cautious about really going knee-deep on the 49ers, is they still have a red zone issue. This team still does not do enough.
That's fair.
In the red zone. Opening possession, you get to the three, let's kick a field goal. Second possession, you get to the eight, let's kick a field goal. This is not the way to go about winning Super Bowls, is by settling for three instead of seven against bad teams.
Yeah, that's fair. Then again, they've had a lot of penalties in the red zone, and some of those were very, very bad calls. I know they ended up scoring in the red zone on that one drive.
Yep.
Three times in four plays, but they get the green check for scoring a touchdown on that particular drive. I understand that. Yeah, you have a point. Yeah, they need to be more efficient in the red zone.
They were 2 for 4 in the red zone.
Well, and that's actually where I feel like they feel the biggest void with Christian McCaffrey. He is impossible in the red zone. Like, as a defense, what do you do? What do you do? You sell out for the run, and then all these passing options open up, including him. Or do you lay back, and now Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in the game, is firing at you in the red zone? I think that they miss him there a little bit. I also do think that but, you know, again, if we're looking at the 49ers right now, you're more concerned with the other side of the ball than you are the offense.
You are, but, you know, you look at things that could be better, and obviously special teams would be area number one. For me, the defense would be area number two, and then offensively, it's the red zone. And I look at last year, the 49ers had a 68% red zone touchdown percentage, which was number one in the NFL.
Yep.
This year, you're at 50%, which is tied for 20th with the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, not good. Not good after a small sample, but yeah, not good. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right, let's circle back to the front. We're having an interesting conversation early on in the show with regard to when you watch Brandon Ayuk, what do you feel? Like, what do you think's going on there? We can get a little bit more into the Devontae Adams angle of this, which has been much discussed throughout the country, including here so far today. But also, it's starting to give me Kevin Durant kind of vibes. And what does that mean for you? So when you watch him play, what do you feel like is going on there? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. We'll talk it out. It's Willard and Dibs.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.